Good morning. Somebody set off an alarm, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's such a joy to be back up here. Pastor is moving into the hood, and he's moving, and with the help of others, he's moving along. He's coming on home, and he's coming to the within the boundaries of Aurora to be with us and to be with Central Bible Church. Just a quick note upon, you may not see me always on Sunday mornings because I have different assignments at different churches. I've spoken last week I spoke at a Japanese-American church on the northeast side of Chicago, and they don't shake hands, they bow, and it's kind of fun, if you don't otherwise know, we supplement our income by driving around the city, driving Uber, and I drive through those communities that Christina spoke about all the time. And I can see the young people in the streets, sometimes on the streets, and I just applaud the ministry that you're doing, touching the lives of people at the impressionable age, at the age they need to be adjusted in their way, to turn away from the left and go rightly. So thank you so much for the work that you do. And additionally, the other things that, if you don't see me, come Sunday night. Tonight we're going to be starting in the book of, not Philippians, but Ephesians tonight. First chapter in Ephesians tonight at 6 o'clock. And the other thing that I do with Central is I take my young sidekick, Tonto, also known as Reverend Ralph Brooker, and we go on Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings and visit shut-ins and others. And we've upped our number to about 7 or 8 or 9 people that we rotate through and visit each week and spend lengthy visits with. And we hear about the just things in life. And we have such a wonderful time doing it. And by the way, if you think that you know somebody within the community that needs a visit from the Lone Ranger and Tonto, or Steve and Ralph, just let one of us know, and we'll be happy to add it to our list and our rotation of people, because all people need a touch from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, today's teaching is actually a special request. The group that meets on Sunday evening, I said last Sunday, I said, what would you like me to teach on? And they said, well, the Fall Feasts of Israel are coming up. And indeed, next Sunday night is the first observance of the day of Yom Teruah, the Day of the Trumpet, also known in the Jewish world as Rosh Hashanah. And when I mentioned that, they said, hey, why don't you teach us about that? And I said, well, that might go over like a lead balloon. They said, let's try it anyway. So we're going to do that. And if you want to follow along, we're going to be picking our way through much of Leviticus 23, mostly between chapters that really make up application of 23:23. But before we do that, I'm going to give you a little pre-knowledge here. Leviticus 23 is really a section of Scripture that, believe it or not, is rarely read because people just don't like to go through Leviticus. Why? Because it's laws and it's lengthy and it's tied up and there isn't enough drama in it. People like to go to the drama in Scripture. If you're going to do the Old Testament, they like to have the drama, the stories of Genesis and Exodus. My goodness, they make movies about those things, but they don't make any movies about Leviticus. Poor Leviticus, shoved off in a corner, crying in the corner, I'm not popular, but it is so meaningful, because every word of the Lord is meaningful. Amen? Amen. And so it is, and because it's meaningful to God that He inserted it into our lives as not only eternal observances, but the very fact that it's in Scripture, is, as we say in Hebrew, Dayenu, it is sufficient for us. It is sufficient for us to have an understanding of this. And God is in the small details. There's a lot of little details here. And let me ask you a question. Is God in the small details in your life? I see a few heads nodding, but apparently the cat's got your tongue. So, yes, God is in the small details. As he says, even the hairs upon our head are numbered, even if you're bald. And so it isn't about that. God is just saying he's in the smallest of all details and that we should be closely observing what he says. There were a lot of contrasts in religions in the early days. Ancient religions that, of course, predate Christianity, and just few that we're going to throw out there to understand for the contrast in what we are going to speak about, that there were ancient Greek religions and gods such as Zeus and Ares, heroes such as Heracles, and ancient Roman religions that drew heavily from Greek religions as well as Etruscan, which was pre-Roman, and Italian religions and Celtic religions made famous by the works of Julius Caesar, famously used in human sacrifice. Norse religions. The Norse worshipped their own gods until Scandinavian was Christianized between the 8th and 12th centuries. And famous gods of theirs included movie stars like Thor and Loki. And many of their gods still remain in English today. Can anyone know how that happened? Thor's Day, is a following of a Norse god. Judaism existed in Europe and in that area of the world, as indeed it did before, as it predates Christianity. And with the exception of Judaism, most of those religions were polytheistic, pantheistic, paganistic, and they included animal and indeed even human sacrifice. Religious practices included actions that were contrary to our biblical ordinances. Of course, they predated the written word, but we must look at the contrast between what things people did as human followings, distinct from what God has designed for the way we follow him. God is the one who calls upon us to do certain things. You know, in our natural lifestyle, in the natural being of man, and I'll add women, we do not like to obey. My wife taught me that. We don't like to obey. We don't like to be accountable. We like to do whatever is right within our own eyes. When we see our children at an early age, there is a built-in rebellion. As beautiful and as wondrous as Nora Lee is today, somewhere in the second year of her life, there is going to be a new two-letter word that enters into her vocabulary now. We're just like it. We may get bigger and we may press down on that two-letter word, but it's always fighting within us, isn't it? We always want to say no because we want to do what is yes to us. We don't like to do things that we're asked to do. But because God has given us such laws, he's given us these things for an authoritarian education. His authority, our education. We are to submit, therefore, unto God. And by our submission, we learn a style of living that is freeing. And other people say, well, if I got to always do what the boss says, it takes away my individuality. But it's a lot of syllables. The fact is that when we submit to God, it is freeing because we do not have to worry about it. Take away the worry. If we go out on our own, we are literally on our own. If we go forward with the Ark of the Covenant before us, we never lose. Now let me see, would you like this pound of gold or this pound of feathers? I like the gold. And all good things come from above. So we are instructed to follow up. In early part of Leviticus, it starts like this, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times which you shall proclaim as holy convocations." Indeed, when he says this concerning the feasts of the Lord, literally, it's translated in the Ivrit because he uses the term Moad. The Hebrew term Moad means appointed time. It means an appointment. It means that on these selected observances that you have an appointment with God. Now, I know almost everybody in here has had an appointment somewhere along their life. When you get to my age or age similar to mine, it's routinely at a doctor's office. I get little notes on my phone. Yes, even old guys use smartphones. That's what keeps us smart. But on our phone, it says, you have an appointment tomorrow with Dr. So-and-so over at the clinic. And we have appointments. And we don't like to miss them under the consequence that we'll be charged for it anyway. How much more important are the appointments with God, who created doctors, who created us, who created the ability to get well? For he is Adonai Rapha, he is God the healer. Amen? And so he comes to us with this time of assembly and solemnities and rendering applicable all sacred seasons mentioned in this chapter, even the Day of Atonement. Isn't that interesting to have a Day of Atonement? We've got a life that has been atoned for in Jesus Christ. Amen? And because of that, we do not have to concern ourselves about that sacrifice. But the idea behind it is so much stronger. In Psalm 89:15, it says, "How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance." The joyful sound is not singing, but the joyful sound comes from reading the Word of God. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God. And when we hear the Word of God, we are instructed through a joyful noise that is indeed His voice. These holy convocations were evidences of divine wisdom and eminently subservient to the maintenance and diffusion of religious knowledge and piety. The word for feast, like I said, Moad, is properly translated as those appointed times. We start with the Day of the Trumpet, also known as Rosh Hashanah. In Leviticus 23:23. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, then the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." Since this period of time in the seventh month, for the first 23 days of the seventh month, is a period of solemnity and observances, it is like the opening gun. It is the time of gathering together and reflecting on who we are. The observances are to take our eyes off of the world, to look in the mirror and see what you see. What are we impressed with when we look in the mirror? Certainly not my waistline. Certainly not my face, certainly not my hair, but certainly do I see the reflection of God. Romans 8:29 says, "For all those he foreknew, he predestined to conform to his image." So when we look in the mirror, we are supposed to see the reflection of Christ. It's better than me. For if I miss a hair of my face when I shave, it's no big deal. But if I represent someone other than Jesus, that is a big deal. Our reflection should be Him and Him indeed. So He calls us for that. And He says, "Come to the convocation. Get ready." In Leviticus 23:4, we talk about God's square root. He uses the number 7. As He says, "These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. that in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at the twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the seventh same month, there is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And yes, I am not going to speak about the Passover, but it's significant in the fact that it's on the first day of, on the 15th day of the first month. The first month being the first of Nisan, the beginning of spring. That is the biblical New Year's. On the Saturday congregation, which I've been honored to be part of for the last 18 years, one of the things that is so significant is that we celebrate that as the New Year and have a fine time there. Why? Because it's God's New Year. And we blow whistles and we eat sweet food in celebration of that. More importantly, is it to know that on the Lord's Passover, which is on the 15th day of that first month in the spring, and the first Passover where God said with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand, I shall rescue my people Israel, that exactly 6 months, half year away, will be coming the Festival of Tabernacles, the Sukkot, where we live in huts with an open roof to look at the sky, to be reminded of the fact that is how the Israelites traveled in the desert during the time of the Exodus. That we're to be reminded at least twice a year in 7 day festivals how powerful God is and that He took us away from the bondage of slavery, either to people or to sin. Exactly half a year apart. It says in Leviticus 23:25, excuse me, you shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. And I have an interactive question. Okay, everybody ready? You all sharpened up? Ellen's ready. I can see him talking. John's nodding his head. Okay, we're ready to go here. Why by fire? The Jeopardy clock's going around. Dum-dum-dum. Any guesses out there? Don.
They were to offer it, but wasn't a certain portion also to eat?
For sin offering, not for the holy observances. But the important part of hot fire is that it does two things. Number one, it purifies. Number two, it illuminates. Fire doesn't have one quality, does it? Fire has numbers of qualities. And the number one is the purification, that when you burn something, you burn out what is evil or what is bad for you. You cook things, you boil things to boil out the impurities. In my mother's case, she boiled out the flavor of what she was cooking, but that's another story. But the other part is illumination. That we should constantly have our eyes illuminated by God. That when we come with fire to the Lord, He's done marvelous things. Remembering the miracles that were done during the time of the prophets when He licked up the fire and the water and the stones for Elijah. Fire has been used in many ways, but mostly the fire is to consume the offering, to purify the people by that consummation, and to illuminate our lives into His truth. Secondly, we're talking about the Day of Atonement, which is indeed a change of heart. We are on one path. We're kind of like trains. We get on the track and we do the same thing every day. If you don't believe so, think about what you do Monday through Friday. You get up in the morning at a prescribed time. You get up, you have your shower, your breakfast, your makeup or shaving. You do the things you do every day at the same time. You go to the office or workplace and you do the same things in one manner or another, and you come home and you take off your day's clothing, you put on something comfortable, you go in the kitchen, you have dinner, You might turn on the consummation box sitting on the wall. You go home, perhaps, hopefully you read a little bit, pray a little bit, close your eyes and start all over again. God wants you off the track. God wants a change of heart. The Day of Atonement, which comes every fall. The Jews in the synagogues will beat their chest every time they say, Al Chet, meaning for the sin I have committed. And they talk, pleading for forgiveness. A great change with us happened the moment that we said, Jesus is our Lord and we submit to you. For our sins are taken away by God. But still a change of heart to go upon and reflect upon the routines that we do all the time is inspiring to the fact that we change from what we were to something that God wants us to be. That God wants us to have this observance to say, stop. Look in the mirror. We need a change of heart. The Lord spoke to Moses saying that on exactly the 10th day of the 7th that month is the Day of Atonement. And once again, he says, it shall be a holy convocation for you. And you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire unto the Lord. You should not do any work on this same day, for it is the Day of Atonement to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. And if there is any person who will not humble himself on the same day, he shall be cut off from his people. For God desires humility because the less we're filled with us, the more we can be filled by him. What would you like to be? A sack filled with you or a sack filled with God? I think that is a self-evident answer. That we want to be filled with the fullness of God. After all, remember that these observances are a forever thing. I know many people come up to me and said, oh, that's just for the Jewish people. Tell me, if your ensign is Jesus, was Jesus not involved? Was Jesus not here? In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word is God. When was Jesus not there? He was in the Bahamas getting a suntan? I think not. The Old Testament is just the beginning testament. It's not the old like it's ancient and over the hill. It is the predating the New Covenant scriptures. And the only thing that is so distinct of the New Testament is that our sin has been paid for on a cross. What doesn't matter to us if it meant the same to Jesus? We fall into a trap of believing what is easy, but not necessarily what is right. It is a forever thing. Verse 31 says, you shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls. You know, if God says something once, is it important? We have a question here. If God says something once to you, is it important? Well, some of you said yes. If God repeats himself, is it important? What if God says something three times? Write it on the back of your eyelids. Because what God says, he means for us to hear. On the 9th of the month, at evening from even until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. And that is the observance that people of the Jewish faith understand, that the Sabbath starts at sundown on Friday evening and carries over from a night to the night. We go to Shavuot, or Tabernacles, which is our last observance. And again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, saying, that on the 15th of the seventh month of the Feast of Booths for 7 days unto the Lord. Remember, I already said that 6 months earlier we observed the Passover. And on the first day is a holy convocation. You should do no laborious work of any kind. Why do you think God doesn't want us to work on those days? Because work interferes with our concentration on who He is. We forget the fact that our work, which provides us the income to provide what we need in our lives, is in itself a provision from God. That all good things come from above. That the work which is good for man and woman to do comes from the benevolence of a loving God. Because when we put our hands to the plow, we are busy about what God has given us to do. And the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Ever hear that one? We do not want to be idle. We want to be workers. So many of you, I know how diligent you are in being busy, not for the sake of busyness, but productive. And that productiveness is what is essential in our lives, because God has us to do that. And when He says, do no work, it should be extraordinarily important to us, because that means take a break from the world and come near to Me. Come near to Me. I know many of you are lonely. Till I met this beauty in the second row here, I knew what lonely was. Some of you have lost your spouses. Some of you don't have any spouses. Some of you don't have close friends, perhaps. But being embraced by the Lord God has a way of dealing with that loneliness, because it places within us a love that surpasses all understanding, a care and a comfort and a warmth that can only be supplied by Him. For 7 days, you shall present an offering by fire again to the Lord. And on the eighth day, you should have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You should do no laborious work. And think of this, that while you're spending 7 days completing these observances and being active upon it, your heart changes from a heart of the world to a heart of the Spirit. The reasons that God has the special numbered days, the special numbers of seven, is to allow us the fullness of a week to understand His great provision for us, the grandeur of His beauty. These are the appointed times, Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations to present offerings by fire to the Lord. Burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, and drink offerings, each day's matter on its own day. And besides those of the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all of your votive and free will offerings which you give to the Lord, that on exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days with the rest of the first and the rest of the eighth day. Celebrate what God has given us. For each one of us here has a roof over our heads and food in our stomach. Not because of what we've done. Think of what Nebuchadnezzar did when he stood at his castle and said, "Look at the beauty of this incredible kingdom that I have created." Next thing you know, God made him a grass eater. His hair grew like feathers of a bird and his fingers like the claws, because he had to be straightened out. All things that we have are a provision of God. The beauty of God's provision says in verse 40 that you are to take on the first day, you should take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you should rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And you should thus celebrate it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in the year, and it shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. During Sukkot, during the Feast of Tabernacles, we take a branch that includes a willow branch, a myrtle branch. I'm trying to remember the third one. Myrtle, willow, and palm branch. And to shake it in all directions, because each of those trees have an aroma that should seek into us, that once more God gives all of us sensory instruction and reminders of the beauty of what He's given us. And we shake it to the four corners of the earth to remember that God has provided us and for all of our people all that we need. We should live and learn that when you shall live in booths for 7 days, all the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. And then God ends with this, I am the Lord your God. We learn from what God gives us in the reminders of His holy observances, that they're holy convocations, they're holy assemblies, that they're to get together. We're not supposed to weep in the solemnity, but rejoice that in each one of these opportunities, they are times for us to turn from the ways of the world and indeed turn our lives towards Him. It's an interesting study, but not one that is boring, but indeed refreshing. One other thing that fire does, it burns down the old so you can have a life that is new. And our lives that are new are from God, and the lives from God are perfect. Not because of anything we did, but because He made us perfect in Him. Lord Father, thank You for this morning of education in Your Word, and thank You for the conciseness and the quickness of Your Word, that in short understanding, in very explainable bits, we've been able to come to grips with what You have for us to know and learn. Lord Father, You are the provider. You are the giver of all things. And to You all glory comes. May we bless You and praise You. In Christ's name.